We're on Mem. We're on the sugya of Ifrochim, going up and down. That's Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Take a look, please, about there's like an L shape. The text is L shaped. I don't know what it looks like in Safari of mine. It's not very helpful. But the Gemara begins with the words. Kofin et asal. Kofin et asal is 1, 2, 3, 4. I would say it's probably halfway in the Amud, maybe like 40% down from a text perspective from the top.
Is it Kofin et asal ifnei hafrachim?
Exactly, exactly.
Perfect.
That's the sugya that we're doing. Okay, it's Kofin et asal. Okay, now this sugya, just to put it in the larger context, just to bring everyone to speed from last week. And that is, we're talking about a situation in our Mishnah where our Mishnah told us that we are not allowed to place a kli to catch this oil. And we said there are two different interpretations in our Mishnah. The first interpretation was maybe not allowed to move a kli at all because, as the language of our Gemara and as Rashi quoted over there, you can't use a bull for the sake of something else. That was the first interpretation. That was the first mahalach that we went through. The second mahalach that we went through was the mahalach of the issue is mevatel kli mehecha, no, that we are worried, in fact, that we're going to catch the oil. Catching the oil will render our kli bittul, because now we can no longer use our kli for the rest of Shabbat. So it, 10 p.m. oil hits it, it's toast for the next, 20 hours or so. Okay, that was the, that was what we saw. That's we're in the middle of the sugya. So if that's true, the Gemara wants to say, well, I don't understand something. L'chora, there's a contradiction. Well, there's a braita that says the following: Kofin et asal lifnei afrochin, that you're allowed to place a little basket in front of chickies. Why? She ya'alu the yirdu, in order for them to ascend and descend, like yalaviyavo, right? Yalaviyavo for chicks. Now we have to understand the context here, right? What's this context? What exactly are we trying to accomplish? So, it seems like I have chickies that are, I don't know, I guess they're just born. They're just been hatched. They're very, very young. So they can't fly yet. And the issue is that we have a problem. Our problem is the following. It is, there's too large of a jump, let's say, between the nest and where they're located on the ground, where they jump from, right? There's a gap. And so they don't have the physical ability to go, 10 inches. They can walk gingerly, 4 inches. So what do? You place baskets so they can hop on the basket and make it to the nest or make it to the ground. Doesn't matter if it's yalu or yirdu. So that's what we want to put, these little, small little baskets, right, for them to hop on. Right, that's this language over here. Now, are you allowed to do it? Yes. Kofin et asal, you can place these baskets, lifnei afrochim, by the little chickies, in order for them, shi'alu v'yirdu. So lichora, that's a question. Why is that a question? Because what about bitul kli? Right? What about bitul kli? Or what about moving the kli for, you only have to move a kli for devar hanital. So in theory, it can be for either one. We'll see which one, though, this is really referring to. Meaning, based on the mahalach and the gemara, we're not really dealing with, at this point, moving a kli elotzor l'manita, but rather we're actually talking about bitul kli mechano. That's kind of, we dismissed that first one already a few lines up. So really, there's probably only one issue here. Now, that's exactly what the Gemara continues to say. Kasavar mutar l'tal t'lo. You are allowed to move it. So if I'm allowed to move it, meaning I'm allowed to do what? What's the Gemara saying here? What am I allowed to move? I'm allowed to move the basket. I'm allowed to move the basket when? So the Havamina, maybe. I'm actually very curious with the art. I gave David my art scroll. I'm very curious. But I'm not so sure. What's the Havamina here? Is the Havamina here to say I can't move it at all because it's not Davar Nital Ella Le Kliatsmo? Right? In which case you want to help your chickies? Right? So Mistoma, that's what it's saying. It seems the Havamina maybe. Is still going back on this topic of you're not allowed to move a kli ella tzorach atzmo. Yeah, is that what the article says?
The article says that the cost of our part is a reply, and it's saying that the Tana of the Braita holds that it's permitted to move the basket after the birds climb off it.
Climb off. Okay, that's what I thought. That makes more sense to me. Okay, because we since we've already passed that sugya. So this sugya is trying to say that we're allowed to do. You're allowed to move the basket after the chicks hopped on it, right? Meaning, so the chicks go on it, they hop off of it. And you're allowed to move the basket once they've descended from the basket. Right? That's what it says here. Right? You're allowed to do it. The kasafar mutar l'totolo. How could this be, Vatanya? Asra l'totolo. But it says you're not allowed to move it. Right? You're not allowed. So I don't understand. Can you move it? Can you not move it? What's going on over here? Answer. Badenu alav. No. When do we say that you're not allowed to move these baskets? Only when the chick is actually situated on top of it. When the chick is situated on top of it, you're not allowed to move the basket. But meaning the moment the chick hops off of it, you'd be permitted to move this little basket.
You'd still think that wouldn't be allowed, though.
So David says it wouldn't be allowed. Why wouldn't it be allowed, David?
Because, I mean, however unlikely it is, what if the chick decides to stay there and then you permanently made it look
so? Okay, so we have to assume that the chicks are jumping on and off. But the chick doesn't really have interest in staying on your little basket over here. Wants to go to the nest or the ground.
But even so, like, making it looks up for that 1 second. Who cares about what happens afterwards?
Okay, David's going to ask a $1 million question that's going to be extremely complicated. You don't realize how complicated this is. This is extremely complicated. Because David is saying, I don't understand. Haven't you made your basket muksa for a minute, 30 seconds? So it's muksa now.
Like, I can go on my phone to text someone for 1 second.
So I don't understand if it's muksa. What is it? If it's muksa for 30 seconds, isn't it muksa forever? I don't understand. Right? What, there's a concept called something is muksa for a 30-second time period and there's not muksa? Right? Okay, so this is literally one of the most complicated sugyas. Very difficult sugya. Very difficult. This is why last week I needed to get to the Gemara to get to the Sugya, because it is loaded. It is so loaded. There's 3 Tosfots on here for that are like massive. Okay.
And then does it have to be immediately that it doesn't become Muktzah, or just before the end of Shabbos?
Okay. Okay. Hold. Okay. Okay. Let's go on. I'm going to ask a lot of questions soon. This is just the beginning. Let's get to the Gemara first. You'll see why. Then the Gemara continues. Vatanya, af api she'eno odan alav asur. What's going on here? But the brightness seems to indicate that even if it's not on it, it's asur. Meaning, havamina, excuse me, it hopped on it. Everyone agrees that when the chick is on it, there's no question that it's muksa. Then it hops off of it. What do you mean? The Braita suggested it's still muksa. Ain't enough, Asur. Comes along, Amar Rabbi Abahu. Bodenu alav kobena shmashot. No. What's the case that when the chick hops off of it, it's still muksa? Only when it stays on the basket, the entire bena shmashot. And after all, here continues the Gemara. Migo de katsai de benashmashot, I katsai de kule yomi. Period. That's the end of the sugya. Meaning, the moment something is muksa benashmashot, the entire benashmashot, look at the language here. This is going to be very, very complicated. Look at this language here. I want to highlight this language. Look at the language. Ko benashmashot. Migo de katsai de benashmashot, katsai de kule yomi. That when the item is muksa for the entire benashmashot, then it's muksa for the entire kule yomi. What's the whole day? Shabbos. Meaning, what's benesh mashot? Benesh mashot refers to from sun set until darkness. What we call from Shkian Zotit, Seita Kochavim. What we call Safik Yom, Safik Laila. What we call when we establish the status of our Kalim. If my chicks, let's just say for argument's sake, Benish Mashar is 15 minutes. Want to argue it's less, want to argue it's more, I don't care for now. For now, we're going to establish, for argument's sake, it's 15 minutes. When are we saying, when the Brisa says that what, that the baskets are moksa, that's referring to a case when the chicks are not on it, but only when they were on it the entire Ben HaShmashot. Otherwise, only, they're only moksa, bodenu alav, when they're on the baskets themselves, okay? So that's the conclusion of the sugya. Again, just to reiterate, number one, the Gemara seems to suggest when here's my basket, here's my chick, when it's on it, muksa, it hops off, I could then make a l'chaim and drink. When, however, does everyone agree that this cup is muksa, this basket is muksa the entire Shabbos, when the chick is on it for 15 minutes, from Shkia to Tei de Kochavim, which we are going to say is 15 minutes long. Why? Says the Gemara. When are we saying that the basket is muksa? Only when it was on there the entire time, right? When it was on there, ko ben hashmashot. And after all, migo de ketzal ben hashmashot, ketzal kule yome. Literally, migo, since it was mekitz ben hashmashot, it was set aside during ben hashmashot because it had this chick on it, which case you realize you're not going to be able to use your cup the entire Shabbos, right? Because there's a chick on it. Even if it hops off at minute 16, right? So for minutes 1 to 15, it's on there. It hops off at minute 16, or whatever, 15.01. We'll call that minute 16, beginning of minute 16. It hops off. Too bad. You lost your basket the entire Shabbos. Okay? But when it's on it for 30 seconds at 2 p.m., it's muksa for those 30 seconds. Before it's okay, and after it's okay. That is the very pshat of the Gemara. Okay. Ilan and Ali. David asked a question. He asked a very important question. His question was, I don't understand. It's muksa for 30 seconds and I'm muksa the whole time? What, muksa, it's like a chameleon? Muksa, it's like a muksa chameleon, right? When it has a chicken on it, it's muksa. Wait a second. There's a very important principle. It's only muksa if something, Benish Mashar is muksa. And by the way, Benish Mashar was a muksa? Meaning, not the case. No. When it hops on it for 30 seconds at 2 p.m., drink Benish Mashar is a beautiful basket. I could have brought flowers to my wife. I could have used it as a table. I could use it as a stool. I could use it as a million things. So, all of a sudden, now what are you telling me? 30 seconds is muksa. The second before, it's fine. The second after, it's also fine. But what's going on here? Do you have a muksa chameleon? That's an easy question. I'm about to ask a much more difficult question. Anyone, Elon or Ellie, any other questions that you want to ask on this very strange sugya?
I was thinking, I mean, on that question, right? Mm-hmm. Usually if you designate something before Shabbos, it takes on that purpose for all of Shabbos, right?
Repeat that again, sorry?
If you designate an item for a particular use before Shabbos, then it takes on that for all of Shabbos.
Then what?
Meaning you can't change in the middle of Shabbos.
So let's say I can't change in the middle of Shabbos, right? Just taking a crazy video. It's a crazy video I just did. With you guys over there with the snow in the background, it's beautiful. So what do you mean that it's muksa for the end? What do you mean it can't change? Remember, what we just said? Something is only muksa for Ben HaShmashot. So my basket for Ben HaShmashot was sitting on my shelf. All of a sudden at 2 p.m., I put it down to have a chicko on it. Everyone agrees. Look at the Gemara. Wow, the chick is on my basket, muksa. What's the language? Right? Bodenu alav is only when it was on there the entire Ben HaShmashot. And yet, Kasavar mutar l'taltelo. You're allowed to move it. The answer is, when is it asher? Only b'den olav. So we see here, you see here, that a muksa can be a chameleon.
I have another question.
Ellie, what do you want to ask?
Isn't that specifically during Bein HaShemashos, though? Because it's the Suffolk, you know, Suffolk Lila situation.
No, okay, very important. It appears, if you remember we told a bad joke a few weeks ago that, like, there are certain Jews who maybe throw stones at other Jews on the Holy Sabbath. So it's permissible. Why? Because the stones are moksa. No. What did they do before Shabbos? What they say? They designated these stones. Remember? So therefore, they're not moksa. So again, since these stones, so what would have happened if they wouldn't have designated these stones during before Shkia? Then they would have been moksa. Why? Because what was the stone status during Bein HaShemashos? Moksa, they're stones. The default setting of a stone, Itzim Vavanim, is that they're moksa. How do you unmoksify them? You have to designate them. So if you designated them before Shkia, you saw these stones are being used for a game. By the way, I was those who did Daf Yomi, by the way, we're finishing in Reuven today in Daf Yomi. So they talked about, it was yesterday. Well, yesterday, I think I learned the Daf like 2 days ago. So they're talking about that women were to play games with nuts. With nuts or with apples. Like a rolling game. Like we'd call them, what are they? Jacks. Jacks? Jacks? Okay. I don't think people play Jacks anymore. But the game called Jacks. It was like the Jacks, but for the, you know, I guess 2,000 years ago, that's what they did. Or some type of like mini shuffleboard game. I'm clear because that was what the big game was. But my point is, if you wanted to use stones in theory, you can use stones too for a game. You just need to designate it in advance. Right? You don't have to use, you know, fruits. The reason why they used fruits, I assume, was because, you know, it was cheaper, it was really available, and also it was a moksa, right? Because it was used for food. So, but in theory, if you wanted to use, you know, a stone, you'd have to designate it in advance. You can't make up your mind at 2 in the afternoon that you want to go outside and grab some stones to play a game. That'd be a problem, right? You have to. So the question is, right? So this is, so here's my question. Are you ready? I want to ask a question. Are you ready for this? What happens if you have an item, if your basket has a chick on it for 5 minutes, from minute one to five? At minute five, it hops off. What's the status according to this at minute 16? Is your basket usable or not usable?
Usable. Are we talking about Bein HaShemashos?
Yeah. So again, the 50 minutes between Shkia and Tachavim.
I say it has to be on for all of Bein HaShemashos?
So says Elon, look at the language. The language says Kol Bein HaShemashos, no? So you mean to tell me if a chick is on a basket for only minutes one to five, it hops off at minute five, at minute 16, meaning Tzera Kochavim, you can now use this basket. By the way, what about minute six during Bein HaShemashos, the one that hops off? Supposedly for sure it's okay, right? It's Bein HaShemashos, it hopped off. So it hops off at minute six. You can use a minute seven. For sure minute 16. And for sure minute 2 p.m. the next day. Okay. Why, says Elon, it appears is only a problem if it's Kol Bein HaShemashos, meaning the chick has to be on the basket for 15 minutes straight. A modom can't move, a modom. All of a sudden, that's it. The basket's toast. So it appears that's what the Gemara says, right? Join me in Rashi. Let's read Rashi here for a second. Rashi says, see this with Kol Bein HaShemashos? Listen to this, Rashi. Aval. Natnu sham mi shechashecha. If all of a sudden it's there at nighttime, we're going to assume, by the way, what's mi shechashecha? That's minute 16. Mishechashecha is dark. So dark is not Bein HaShemashos, right? Twilight is Bein HaShemashos. So Mishechashecha is minute 16. Mutar litlo im ain't Efrachim alav. So what did Elon say? Yeah, minute 16. What? What's going on here? But look at the language. Not nusham mishecha shecha. Whether you place the basket in minute 16. Listen to this. Rashi says you put the basket minute 16. It hops off. You're allowed to move it. So what's Rashi saying here? Is this because it was on there the whole time? From 1 to 15? Or are you only putting it in minute 16? It seems like, what's Rashi saying? That you're putting it there what minute? Minute 1, minute 15, or minute 16? Look at the language of the Rashi. Aval natnu sham mishecha shecha.
Minute 16.
Only minute 16, says Elon. Right. It appears Rashi is saying, you slide, meaning, what's the issue? If it's between minutes 1 to 15, there's a chick on the basket, that's a problem. But if you put the basket there only at minute 16, you're fine. Question. Why didn't Rashi say, put it there for a minute 10 to 15, and then a minute 16, it's okay?
That's how I interpreted it, because otherwise he would have said, me.
So, okay. We agreed that minute 1 to 15, if the chick is on the basket, it's no good. We agree. But wait a second. Why is Rashi saying if you place it there at minute 16? If Rashi wants to teach me a bigger chiddush, tell me that he put it there at minute 10. Forget minute 10. Minute 2. You put it there at minute 2? At minute 16, it hops off? Totally fine. Because it wasn't there at minute 1. Why is Rashi only giving me the case? Lichora, the rule is you always give the bigger chiddush. What's a bigger chiddush? It was put there at minute 16 or it was put there at minute 2? And it's mutter to move. Lichora, it's a bigger chiddush to say that he didn't put there at minute 16. Lichora, it's a bigger chiddush to say put it there at minute 10. We put it there at minute 2. Since he missed part of Ben Hashmashot, it's not called Ben Hashmashot. If when it hops off, everyone agrees about deno alav, it's no good. When it hops off, since it wasn't near the entire benish mosha, it should be mutter. Why doesn't Rashi give the bigger chiddush? That's the rule used in Rashi, right? Give the bigger chiddush.
Couldn't you read it like, about not nusham mishecha shecha, and then in brackets, like aval lo mishkia, implying is talking about from minute 10 to the minute 15 or minute
2 to minute 15
or anywhere in between.
So why doesn't he say, I'll tell you what I would have said. I would have liked him to say the following. Are you ready? What would this aval not nusham bibinash mashal? Right? Just say not nusham benish mashal. Why are you saying not nusham mishecha shecha? Just say not nusham benish mashal. Don't say shkia, say benish mashal.
Are they acharei shkia?
Acharei or achar shkia, right? Okay, so that's an interesting question. What would you now? And by the way, is kol ladavka? Meaning the language of the Mishnah, that of our Gemara, said kol benish mashal. Well, I have a very easy answer. Maybe when the Gemara says kol, it's ladavka. Nah, don't be so literal, Rabbi. You know, kol means like majority, rove. Maybe it doesn't mean 1 to 15 has to be there. Maybe it's just, I don't know, any part of it, or a significant part of it. What do you think? It does say cool, no?
Well, I feel like Gemara is usually pretty medaic.
Medaic is pretty serious, but it's just cool, it's cool.
Elon mentioned the cool part before, man.
What do you think? Is there any wiggle room here? Any wiggle room here in the Gemara? To say cool, love davka. What do you think? Wiggle room or no wiggle room? You know, David doesn't like wiggle room. Ellie or Elon, any wiggle room? Any wiggle room? Or you don't think so?
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
Well, it I seems could... like there isn't, but I feel like we're going to find some car out that say there is wiggle room. Because it's okay. The DeMar after all, so I throw it all
breaks. So,
then,
yeah.
It doesn't really make sense, though, because what if, like, you had a chick that jumped on the basket starting even before minute one, and then for 1 minute in between it jumped off and jumped quickly back on, and you're going to tell me that it was just not on for that 10 seconds, but it's the fact that it wasn't.
But what happens if it's literally on there for, you know, minutes, you know, 1 to 7, hops off for 10 seconds and continues being on there. So on there for 99%. Is that not cool? Okay. So this is a very interesting question because it appears, let's try that. It appears that no. Cool means cool. Inachinami. That if we want to be authentic to the Gemara, it says cool. And by the way, this phrase, and this is what's important, this phrase comes up a lot in the Gemara, the phrase of Migo de Ketzala ben Ashmashot, Yitzala Kule Yoma. And Migo de Ketzala ben Ashmashot, now it's interesting here. It doesn't say Migo de Ketzala Kul ben Ashmashot, because Lichora, to say the word Kul ben Ashmashot is redundant. Ben Ashmashot means the whole time period, right? I think. I'm not so sure about that. But I think that's my gut reaction. Now, when the first thing that's interesting is that we see here that according to what we think the Gemara says, that the Gemara is a, that Muksa is a chameleon. It can change its color. Now, here's my other question I want to ask you. When we talk about Bitul Kli, do you remember the Gemara that we said last week and 2 weeks ago? I think it was 2 weeks ago, actually, more than last week. We said that, what's the definition of Bitul Kli? We said that a Bitul Kli is what? What happens when we do a Bitul Kli? I have a bowl, I catch my oil, and now my bowl is what? No longer usable. How long is it no longer usable for? How long? Answer?
I don't think we discussed any case other
than... What's your gut reaction? Bitul Kli. The language of a Bitul Kli seems like, how long is it? Okay, let me take a step back. Let's say oil drips on my bowl. And for whatever reason, the oil slips off my bowl on Shabbos. Right. Okay? Everyone hears this question? Here we go. I have a situation where oil hits my Kli. We all say, oh my goodness, oil, it's kiboy, it's machabe, it's terrible, it's awful, you destroyed my kli. I used to have, remember, this is not modern era, there's no China, right? I only have one bowl, and now my bowl at 10 p.m. at night is bitul kli. You all agree there's bitul kli. A cat comes and licks the oil. A dog comes and licks the oil. Or it slips off. It's oil. Oil slippery. It was on an angle. My bowl is not made so well. It was made by hand, not by, yeah? And it slipped off. No more oil on my kli. The dog ate it. It's like homework. The dog ate it. The cat ate it. But question. What's the status of this bowl?
Based on this Gemara,
what would you say?
Fine.
Says David, it's fine.
Use the kli.
I can use the kli. Agree or disagree? Ellie, what do you think?
I would think you can use it. I think the bitul is until it's, you know, once again, a kli that can be used.
Here's my question. The Mishnah says you can't do it. You can't move your kli. Shouldn't it have said you can't move your kli, but then we'll have?
Right. Well, it's pretty wacky to think that it's going to, you know, a dog's going to come and eat it, maybe.
I get that excuse all the time with homework, you know?
But think about it, like, how would that even work? Because if you had a guest to come over and they didn't know that there was oil on it before and they just see a bowl, it's just to know that it's muksa, it's a muksa bowl.
Right, because your bowl is just sitting there. So remember, so let's look, let's go back for a second. Look at the language here. Remember the language of the Gemara, which Rashi says, it's just two Rashis above what we were reading. It was fine to move, and now it's muksa. Where's the language of mechabro batit? Where was that Rashi? I thought that was here. Oh, no, it was the Rashi on the Gemara? On the Mishnah, I mean? Oh, yeah, yeah. Go to the Rashi on the Mishnah. Remember we saw this before, just to remind you. He says, what is mevatal klimeichano? Shelo yuchal od litlo. You can't move it. Kehave kikoveya lo makom umechabro batit. Vidami lemalacha. You, the moment the oil hits it, it's mechabro batit. Oh, and what about if the oil comes off? What, I've now, is that like my teat has been removed? Is that what it's trying to imply? It's a very good question. This is a very complicated question. This causes a lot of trouble.
So you have two Gemaras next to each other.
What's going on here? On one hand, we see that what? Oh, here's a basket. It's all about ben hashmashot. It's all about when the chick is on it, as opposed to all of a sudden, what about this oil? The moment the chick comes off, it's fine. The moment the oil comes off, I don't know. Okay or not okay? And why is Rashi telling me only mishachashecha, only when it gets dark outside? Why is he saying when it's dark outside, if you put this basket in when it's dark outside? Right? As opposed to if you move it when, if you move the basket, what? During ben hashmasha, that makes a difference? I thought it was going to be the entire ben hashmasha. It is really coming down outside. But we're fine out here. I mean, I'm under a roof. And David, right? I'm on you guys can't see. You guys can't see. Here. There's David over there. Wave David. See? See the fire, the tent? Right? Elon, tell your dad he has to get one of these for his minion. Can't hear me. Maybe he stepped out.
Okay. Where did you get that?
They put it up 5 minutes before Shabbat started. I a bunch of the chevra here wanted it. So if they're willing to pay for it. So we put it up. Yeah. It's nice and warm, no, David?
Yeah. You really call it a big tent
orthodoxy, didn't you? Big tent. That's a good line. By the way, we're going to rent it out for like simchas. I told people that if they want, they can date in our tent. They can date. We'll keep the heater on. There's a table. We'll close everything. We'll have a privacy. No problem of yichud. No yichud issue. It's outdoors, but it's warm. They can sit down like a mensch and actually eat something, you know? If, especially because, you know, well, Toronto, you can't eat indoors anymore. Starting in about 14 hours or so. What they're going to do here, we'll probably face that next week. So people are going to flock to our minions outside, Elon. I'm going to charge people from Toronto like $1,000 to dive in here this week. You can make a fortune, Elon. What do you think? Invite all your cousins. Hey, Elon, invite your cousins to dive in Thornhill this week as a fundraiser for JLIC at your dad's minion. You make a fortune.
All right. Sounds good.
See? You can't go to Clan Park. Okay.
Are all the shows closed, you know?
Yeah, so the Steelers are shutting down at midnight tonight. I mean, they can have 10 people indoors. Now,
are they going to shut down, though? That's the question.
I don't know. I don't want to answer that question. Of course they're going to follow all the rules. And the only thing I was thinking is that they're going to, unless they do a minion factory, like every 15 minutes, sign up for a 50-minute slot, right? Right. The organization would be impossible. Man, yeah. One guy would spend like 2 hours just laning somewhere. Like laning every 50 minutes, he has to lane again. Yeah, I don't think they're going to. I don't. And they have like 2 days to figure it out, too. That's what's really hard. Okay. We're going to be okay out here, though. Same with you, Elon. Okay. I mean, you got 10 people on the property. So 10 people in the Shields' backyard. And 10 people in the neighbors.
We're good.
Yeah, you're good. Yes, so are we. Okay. So how are we supposed to understand this? Because this is complicated. What's the difference between oil and a chick and ben hashmeshot and mishcha shecha and part of the time? Okay. I want to propose the following concept, and you tell me how we're going to make this all work. I want to argue the following. When it what's the definition of, if you hear the language bitul kli, to me bitul kli means your kli is bitul. It's bitul. It's like what they say by chametz. It's bitul, right? Right? It's like dust of the earth, right? So you can't say, it's dust of the earth unless it hops, unless the oil slips off. Nah, that doesn't mean that, right? Right now, imagine you declare your chametz to be like dust of the earth, but you don't really mean it. What do you mean? Then it's not, right? You have to mean what you say. So if you're declaring your chametz to be bitul, it's bitul. So if my kli is bitul, it's bitul. It seems to be irrelevant if the oil slips off, right? Seems to be that way. That's a definition of bitul kli. So maybe we can argue that that's exactly what our Gemara is trying to tell us. That the case of the basket with the efroach on it is not an example of bitul kli. Why? Because the moment it hops off, you can move it. When is the only problem? The only problem is if during the entire ben hashmashot, from 1 to 15, I agree with you, coal means coal. If the chickie is on there for 15 minutes straight, that is the only case of when our sal is no good. And what about if it hops off at minute 16? Too bad. Why? Because it was on there. Migo de getzai le ben hashmashot, getzai le kula yoma. The moment it was on there, the entire ben hashmashot, we can no longer use our kli the entire Shabbos. That seems what the Gemara is saying. So here's my question. What's the difference between the afroach case and the oil case? How come in the oil case, if it's on there for 2 minutes and it slips off, it's still bitul kli? And if my afroach jumps off, you can then move it. Why is oil different from an afroach? This question is extremely complicated, but the answer is very simple. And with this resolves so many questions that you guys don't even realize, but we're going to see those questions today and next week. Okay. I want to just think logically for a second. What's the difference between oil slipping off of a plate and a froach hopping off of a cup? What's the difference? What's the difference between them? You guys ever study for like GREs or LSATs or MCAT? Logic. Let's do a lot. This is not equal to this. Did they do that in MCAT? MCAT?
It's not as robotic on the MCAT, but yeah.
Not as robotic.
LSAT is very like
LSAT, robotic. Right. LSAT, it's GRE, pure logic, right? MCAT, they ask you, to be a doctor, you don't be logical. I'm just kidding. Right? So right? A is to B, B is to A. So this is not, what's that fancy? It's not analogous. It's not analogous. How come the two cases are not analogous? How come they're not really equal?
If and only, like a math thing.
Right. What do you think? Elon, you want to go into business, right? Ellie, business. Schulich versus Ted Rogers. What's the difference between the two cases? I want to argue there's a chilek between the two. And by the way, it's a very simple chilek. It's a Gemara set.
The chick doesn't require an external force for it to come off of the basket.
Okay, so good. The chick doesn't require an external
force. It's own volition.
So therefore, oil, as far as I know, can... Okay, are you ready for this? What about... Is this called an external force? Let's say my plate is angled. so it hits my plate and rolls off right away. It hits it for 2 seconds. 1 second and rolls down. Is that Bito Kli?
I mean, why not?
Why not? It's only never 1 second, Elon. It's an inclined bowl.
What's the difference between 1 second and, you know, 5 minutes?
There's no difference. Lichora, there's no difference. So says Ellie, the difference is that a chick on its own accord has an ability to get off. Oil, unless it's hot, it pops up, right? Has no ability to go on its own. I agree, but I think the difference is even better. And I'll tell you why. I don't like putting trust in animals. Baruch HaGever Shivtach Bashem. Right? We don't put Avtacha in animals. My answer is not going to solve that puzzle. But that's a very bad answer. Because it's true. I hear it. The animal is different because it can hop off on its own. But I don't know for sure. And we don't usually depend, when it comes to Shabbos, we don't put our trust in the animals. We only rely on our own human creativity and initiative. Question. What's the reason why I'm putting the basket there? Why am I putting the basket there for the chickies? What did I say right from the outset? Look at the language of the Gemara. Why is it there? Kofina tesalif nevruchim. Why? She yaluva yerdu. What's my intent when I put the basket there?
You want them to come on it.
I want them to come on, but I want them to stay there?
No.
Of course not. My goal isn't to have them sit on the basket. My goal, you know like a boost? You ever give someone a boost, right? You put your hands like this, give them a lift up somewhere, right? Up over a fence or a gate. So that's essentially the function of when you give someone a boost, your goal isn't to have them stay on your hand for that long because you're going to kill your back. You just want to give them a quick boost up so they can use it for a little bit of leverage and pop up over the fence. But you have no intention for them to stay in your hands. So when you put down the basket, what is your da'at? Remember, Shabbos is all about your da'at, right? What's your intent? You want the chicks to hop on it. But you don't want them to stay there the whole Shabbos. You want them to ya'alu ya'du, up and down, to the nest, to the ground, whatever you want them to do, right? Oh, this is Parsha. Olima yardim vo, right? Not this is Parsha. Yeah, this is Parsha, but you'd say, right? So these are not Malachi Elohim. These are Ephrochim, Olima yardim vo. See, can I just have the Parsha? Parsha connects always whatever you're learning. It's amazing. Right? Olima yardim vo. Same thing. So if that's true, maybe we could see that's the difference. Your intent when you put the... So Ellie said something which is, I think, is correct. But I never like putting it in the hands of an animal. You understand? I don't want to put dot. Oh, because the chick has an ability. It's true it has an ability, but I can't rely on that. It's about my intent. So again, my intent is to do it this way because the chicks have that ability. You follow? Whereas oil doesn't have that ability. So my intent is I want to put the basket there so to give the chicks a boost up or down. When I put the bowl to catch the oil, I want to catch the oil. If you catch an oil, what's the language here? The kabot, what does the kabot the shemen mean? Touchdown, to receive the oil. So if I want to receive the oil, receives the oil, my intent is permanent, no? That's what like kabot the shemen, to receive the oil. So if my intent is the oil to be caught permanent, okay, what about if it's an angle? Well, no one does that. No one puts a bowl to have the oil ricochet off there so it goes in the ground. What's the proof? Because if I wanted it on the ground, I wouldn't have put it there in the first place. Meaning, we need to put a bowl to catch the oil. If I want the bowl to use it as a ricochet to have the oil falls on the floor, well, just don't put a bowl there in the first place and have it hit the floor. So if we see from here, that one is likabel to shemen. I do not want to be mekabel the frohim. I want them to be yalu yerdu. This is so, to me, it's so simple. and it will resolve a lot of issues. This is only the first resolution. We have to deal with a few other resolutions, but that has to be next week. So again, I want to argue the following. And now it makes every Gemara clear. How come when the Gemara says the oil is there, it's the chabro latit, and it renders it? Bitul kli means the kli is mevutal the entire Shabbos. Whereas my basket that received the chick for 30 seconds is not bitul kli. When the animal's on there, I'm not doing bitul kli. That's classic Ilchot Muksa. When you have a Baal Chaim on an item, it makes the item Muksa. The moment the animal hops off, it is no longer Muksa. By the way, this is true. Let's say you're in your backyard. Let's say you have a backyard minion. Everybody on this call right now, everyone's up in the backyard minion, right? So let's say, for example, you have, let me tell you, I looked outside sometime more over the summer than now. I miss all these squirrels. There are animals all over the place, right? You don't realize how many animals there are everywhere, right? In your backyards, right? Coyotes. So, what? Coyotes. I don't know, coyotes in my backyard. I don't think it could fit. There's no space for it to fit even. I guess the door's open, they could fit. Anyways, whatever, it doesn't matter. But the idea here is that if there's a situation where you have an animal that lands on your, it's a little gross, your stender or something, and you use it the next morning, it's not on there anymore. Oh, now your stender, you can't use the whole Shabbos because it was on there for 30 seconds? What you say? Of course you can, right? Right? So animals, Bali Chayim, don't make something muksa just by touching it. It makes it muksa only for a very, very, very short period of time. Okay?
The one it's on for all of Ganeshmashuk is different.
When?
It's different when it's on for all of Ganeshmashuk. Like if the squirrel was on the stender for all of Ganeshmashuk, then you wouldn't be able to use it.
That's a very, very interesting question. You're never going to know that. I guess the side extent of the whole Ben Shmosha. Yeah.
So you can always just assume that there is not a squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah, I assume you guys assume that's a good question. Usually squirrels don't stick around on a stender for 15 minutes straight during Ben Shmosha. Okay, I guess in theory. Yeah.
Like there are animals that will do that. Like they'll, I don't know, rest for a while. Not necessarily a squirrel, but like I've seen rabbits that just sit in one place for like a long time. It's plausible, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Yeah, I guess if you actually could prove that, then. But again, the idea is right. Although you could, yeah.
So if I just
mm-hmm.
go and watch, then it's like a loop.
Yeah, I mean, listen. We know we're out. I mean, you're right. We're outside during davening. So if we're outside during davening, then they're not out there during Ben Shmosha. But okay, I guess it. Yeah. Although if you make early Shabbos and they come later, I stick in another case. Okay, but that's not really. That's not so practical. And I guess in theory, if you saw it, maybe it's an issue. We'll see. But regardless, I think what's important here is that we see something. The first way to at least explain part of this question is the distinction between the oil and the distinction between the froach. It's all about your intent. My intent is very simple, to give them a boost for 3 seconds, for 10 seconds, for 5 seconds, and for 10 minutes maybe. But there's no way that your intent is to have them on there permanently. You just want them sure Yalev Yerdin. So if that's true, it is going to be very, very helpful at least in the difference between the Mishnah, which says the Kabbal Tashaman. So that's the definition of Bitul Kli. The definition of Bitul Kli is to render your Kli absolutely unusable for the rest of Shabbos, as opposed to these baskets. Oh, in the case where the saddle near the entire Ben Shmoshot, in that situation, potentially at least that really could be an issue. But again, that's super rare and almost highly improbable. Okay, we still need to figure out what's his Rashi with Mishicha Shecha, what's his Ben Hashmashot, the whole Ben Hashmashot, it seems like, what about Femiz, why did Rashi say that? Can you have Muksa that's a chameleon that we have to deal with as well? We haven't flushed that out yet. We have to see what Tosfot really goes on a tirade But at least we're beginning to put a couple things together. That's going to be very helpful. Okay, it's 10:58. Let's end there for today, God willing. Next week, same time, same place. Bye, everybody. Thank you. Huge call for joining. That was pretty amazing. Thank you, everybody. Special shout out to David who joined in the cold.
Thank you so much,
David.
Bye, everybody. I'll see you. Shavuot Tov. And join us at 1 o'clock for our leap tag.